Welcome, everybody. This is Seth Rudolph to Let's Create a Better World with Bobby Elias and myself, Seth Rudolph, as a co-host. Today, Bobby is out. He's been busy this time of the year. Wanted to fill in for him and help continue his show and his great word that he's been passing on for so many years and everything he's doing. We have a great show for you today. We have two guests coming on board here, David Serio and Lisa Levinson, and wanted to talk more about health, nutrition, and also the benefits of sleep and how much it is essential to us, of course, as human beings, and what we do and the lifestyle we're living. We all lead a very hectic, lifestyle where we're focusing on getting work done, paying the bills, family, everything else out there. We really need to pay attention to how we sleep, how we nourish ourselves, and what we do. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce David. David, are you with us there?
I am. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're here for.
Well, thank you for that welcome. I'm delighted to be with you today. And the subject of sleep and nutrition, of course, has been a passion of mine for many years. I've been a nutritional biochemist for about 20 years. I've been maintaining a private practice, seeing chronically ill patients and helping people to reduce their various suffering from chronic illness, chronic disease, and addressing various aspects of improving function, and essentially helping people with their performance in a variety of different ways. And the subject of sleep has become paramount because over the years we've realized and come to realize that the most important modulator of stress is just simply improving the quality and quantity of sleep. And it's something that's often overlooked, and we focus on all kinds of remedies and nutritional intervention, which sometimes is also helpful, but sleep is often overlooked. You with me, Stefan?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it's like when we're feeling like we're down and we're out and we're depressed, and we always kind of get on to a prescription drug or something else. We mm-hmm. think it's something to do with our life, but it's actually our lifestyle, right? And the amount of sleep that we're getting is essential to, 6 hours, 8 hours, at least 8 hours of sleep a night. And what is your feedback on that? When some people will get 3 or 4 hours and say they're fine. Do you feel mm-hmm. that it fluctuates throughout our life? The older we get, the less sleep we need, or what is your feedback on that?
My thinking after years of study and research and spending a lot of time with people is that I don't think that there's a hardcore number that has to be applied to everyone. We're all genetically unique, and that genetically uniqueness leads to a biochemical individuality. We're all individuals. So as much as we're the same as human beings, we're different. Male from female, and of course various age groups, and then of course the needs based on the life challenges that we all uniquely undergo. So I think that it really depends upon each individual's challenges and lifestyle, as you said, but it really boils down to habits. Habits are either your best friend or your worst enemy. And what we often do is we get caught up in these bad habits of sitting in front of the computer, for instance, late at night, or sitting in front of the TV, and you look at this bright screen, and the bright screen overexcites the photoreceptors in your eyes, which then overexcites the visual cortex in the brain. And then when you would have normally fallen asleep maybe at 11, 10:30, 11, 11:30, you're not going to go to sleep till 1:30 or later, because you're artificially overstimulating the brain. And so I believe that earlier sleep is really what makes the big difference, if that's possible, and it's not with everybody's schedule. But I do think that earlier, getting to sleep earlier, and we always say before midnight is ideal, maybe 11 o'clock, it allows you to have get into a deeper REM sleep and allow you to have a better quality of sleep. So maybe, just maybe, you don't require as many hours. But I do agree with you that I think that somewhere around 6 to 8 for most individuals is probably a good target goal.
Yeah, exactly, because when we are sleeping, and I know exactly what you mean by when we go to bed, we want to get a good night's sleep, but all of a sudden something pops into our mind about checking email, checking something, especially getting your phone on. That's the worst thing that I've found in my life up until about a year ago that I was doing was not paying attention to
the time that I should be asleep. And I kept losing sleep because I was on Facebook, I was checking email, and I was, all of a sudden 2 hours goes by and it's midnight. And we really have to pay attention to that and get a better night's sleep.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about your practice and what you do and some contact information for our listeners here as well.
Well, I've been seeing people with chronic illness for years. I see a variety of challenging cases that oftentimes I've kind of, because of my background with working with people like Dr. Bob Marshall and Dr. Jeffrey Bland, I've kind of gotten a reputation of, well, if you can't figure something out, call David. He might be able to figure it out. And so I guess that's, on the one hand, it's an honor to be thought of as somebody that can think outside the box, and it's a challenge at the same time and holds you to a high standard of accountability and of performing. And so I've had to really think in terms of comprehensive and taking a systems approach and not trying to use a single remedy, which is really the allopathic model. And now in alternative medicine, a lot of people try to adopt the same concept. They say, let's use a single remedy like, you know, garlic or feverfew or colostrum or one specific thing to fix an infection or to fix the flu or to fix a cough and or to fix sleep problems, for instance, like melatonin. And I don't think that's the right approach. I think that's being short-sighted, and it's really applying the single remedy for the single problem mentality, which is a flawed mentality. We are a whole person that requires a whole comprehensive approach, a holographic approach, if you will, meaning nutrition, lifestyle changes, and changing bad habits. You know, don't just continue in your bad habits of doing the wrong thing and then say, well, what pill can I take from GNC that's going to fix my insomnia? That's just not logical, and it's not an intelligent approach.
Exactly. That's really just paying attention to what we have to attend to in our life, which is ourself, our body, our mind. And that goes back to the spirit and creating a better person. If we get so wrapped up in today's technology and world and everything else, and we're never thinking, all of a sudden we wake up and we're 60 years old, unhealthy, 70 years old, you know, in the hospital, and we're like, what happened? Because all along, we are, like, what I like to use as an example is like a computer. We have to keep our C drive clean, right? We have to keep our software running clean, running smoothly, and paying attention to the little things, especially with your experience in sleep and more awareness of what we have to do. Maybe you can tell our listeners about some examples, if you have a patient or two that you've worked with recently, of what they went through and how you helped them.
Well, it's interesting. I worked with a patient who was actually a talk show host on a radio show, and he had a health radio show, and he had a severe form of insomnia called fatal familial insomnia, which indicates that it can actually kill a person if it's not treated. And this is not somebody who was amenable to taking drugs and doing things that would maybe some people would be open to. So he tried all the traditional remedies, and ultimately what led to a dramatic improvement was a reduction in the stress through intentional lifestyle changes. So that meant getting out and doing exercise, walking, getting full spectrum sunlight. We often overlook the need for full spectrum sunlight that goes into your eyes, gets on your skin, and it acts as a laser, and it sort of resets the clock in the brain, because we all have a clock that we call the circadian rhythm of the brain that says at about 10 o'clock to start getting sleepy. And so that's the pineal gland starting to secrete things like serotonin and melatonin in the brain. Well, it's full spectrum sunlight that modulates and really controls that function. So we overlook the fact that just getting out, because many of us are cave dwellers, we sit in an office all day, we sit in our house much of the time, and we simply don't get out and just go for a walk and get fresh air. The other thing that we did with this gentleman was get him to start moving more, so he drained, because he was a person who was really liked to sit a lot and didn't do a lot of activity, was not a physical individual. So I got him just to get out and do brisk walking. And that drains the lymphatic system, which is the sewage system of the body, and that will also help improve sleep quality along with getting a little bit more sunlight. So that actually made more difference in a lot of the nutritional aspects because this person was already doing very well nutritionally. And then he ended up having a lot of body work done, some by myself because I'm a applied kinesiologist. So we did body work on this person, and slowly, over a period of time, it dramatically improved, but he was getting down to the point where he could only sleep 1 hour a night at most.
Yeah.
It was a good example of a success.
Yeah, that's a key point I feel you just noted, too, was the sun itself, when we wake up, and I've actually been leaving my window, the shades open, and I go by that now, and I haven't used an alarm clock in almost 3 years, and I feel people can do this, and you probably know as well, of course, that 6 hours, 8 hours, I wake up instinctively, but I also go by the sun instead of closing the shades. We need that sunlight in our eyes to refresh our mind and reboot our C drive and do everything for us because we need those vitamins, and then we know it's time to get up, time to get rolling. Those are some great stories that you have here, too, and tell us about your contact information as well and tell our listeners about what you can do for them.
Well, my contact right now, this probably the easiest way to contact me would be my toll-free number, which is 888-405-2121. And my company has been called for many years Nutritional Medicine Institute. And the website, which is currently under construction to redo it and build it up a little bit nicer, is nutritionalmedicine.com. So that will be the way to contact me in the future, nutritionalmedicine.com.
Okay.
So,
also regarding, it makes me think more about the sleep and, I went through epilepsy myself. I had that in the past and other issues. Maybe you can tell our listeners an example of whether it's epilepsy or even something as severe as cancer or any type of dis-ease in our life, what you do for them, what of course sleep does for them. What are some good stories that you have?
Well, thank you for emphasizing the way you just said disease, because so many people are misled when they hear the word disease. We all recoil into, oh my God, I have no control over this. It's a disease. And just like you said, it's a dis-ease. Your body is not at ease. And it does not indicate that we are helpless over this entity. Unfortunately, modern medicine, conventional medicine, has led us to believe that in pathology, if you are diagnosed with a known pathology or what we call a disease, that you're, pretty much at the mercy of the disease, or you're the mercy of the doctors that are treating it with a drug or surgery, and there's probably not a whole lot you can do other than that. Now, obviously, your audience knows that's simply not the case. There's a lot you can do for many things, such as diabetes, type 2, diabetes mellitus, and many other chronic illnesses, autoimmune diseases, back problems that are often, not treated properly. Especially I think of dermatitis. My gosh, there's so many things that can be done, the right way with dermatitis that we do that dermatologists don't do because they're simply not trained. Having said that,
what is dermatitis exactly in that area?
Well, a dermatitis is a broad term that just simply means inflammation of the skin at some sort. So we're talking about psoriasis or eczema or even acne would be considered in that category. Something that is causing an inflammatory response, an eruption, pustules, ulceration of the skin. The skin is our largest organ, of course, and so it's easy to overlook the importance of, addressing these kinds of problems from a comprehensive standpoint and from a functional standpoint. So what we've often done is step back and take a look at what could be the underlying causation and then take a comprehensive approach of addressing deficiency. Maybe the person's not getting what God intended them to have. Maybe it's toxicity. They're getting too much of something that we were never intended to have. And then thirdly, there can be an infectious component to it, which there often is. And that's kind of the uniqueness of what I've been trained to do is look at the possibility of a chronic infection. And yeah. there are novel ways now, Stefan, to test, both through advanced biochemical blood analysis, sometimes urinalysis, and then, of course, through muscle testing, if you're trained properly to do muscle testing. But it has to be a very specific approach to doing it right, in a methodology that where you can identify chronic infection, and oftentimes that is the underlying root cause. But what we do is we don't treat the disease, we treat the body. And there's a fundamental difference. Medical doctors treat the disease because they're licensed to treat the disease. We don't treat the disease, we treat the body. We allow the body to heal itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because that's mm-hmm. something that we, I was actually in pharmaceutical sales as well back in the day, selling drugs, thinking it was the cure-all, mm-hmm. the cure-all. But mm-hmm. when we get on mm-hmm. drugs, it doesn't work. It's something that actually get hooked on without even knowing mm-hmm. it, whether it's depression or my area was acid reflux and Prevacid, mm-hmm. Prilosec, mm-hmm. all these areas where I thought I have to take this for the rest of my life, prescription drugs. And you know what? I changed my diet. I changed everything, and it went away. And
that's great.
That's what your specialty is, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting that we often think that you're going to have to be dependent on a medication the rest of your life, and it was never intended to be that way. But, you know, I have colleagues that are medical doctors in various specializations, and I thank God for my colleagues in modern medicine, because we really need them in this day and age. Once you cross that magic boundary that we call pathology, sometimes you need to look at it and you need to treat it in a crisis intervention fashion. And then step back and say, well, now that we stabilize this individual's, you know, vitals, and they're out of, you know, severe inflammation or severe pain, whatever it might be, now let's truly address the underlying root cause. And then that takes a different approach. You don't use the same tools in your toolbox for chronic care as you do for critical care. And if you try to, then it's the proverbial, you know, looking at everything as if it's a nail, because all you have in your toolbox is a hammer. And that just doesn't make a lot of sense. We have a lot of tools, but unfortunately in allopathic medicine, they've been trained only with certain things. So they're expert in critical care, and they do a very good job. And I'm very grateful to medical colleagues that I have, that I can say, you know, would you please take a look at this patient I'm working with and just make sure that, you know, this or that is not the case. Maybe doing advanced blood testing, maybe ruling out a certain pathology, making sure that a lump or bump may not be malignant. You know, there are certain things that we really truly need allopathic medicine for, and we should not be antagonistic to that. At the same time, we have to be intelligent and ask different questions, because the questions we ask determine the answers we get when it comes to the underlying causation of some of these pathologies.
Yeah, and we have to have that key of open-mindedness, too, and be understanding that not all the same medicine is good for everyone. And it's good to, of course, go to the doctor if you need a prescription, you know, do what is necessary, but then really pay attention to your body's reaction to these things that you're putting in it. Mm-hmm. So if we have
Absolutely.
Tests done that
yeah.
say, yeah, exactly, the medicine that is put in us may help your neighbor or your friend, but it's not going to help you all the time. So, right,
That's
just
right.
be more aware, right?
That's right. You got to be aware, and you got to treat, you're right, treat each individual separately as if, you know, their case is unique, and, you know, what may work for one may completely be the wrong thing for another. The cure for one person could be the poison of another. You just don't know.
Exactly. And to our listeners, David Theriault again. We're discussing, and this is Bobby Elias' show, Let's Create a Better World, and here on Progressive Radio Network, the Gary Knoll show. And Bobby is not able to be with us, so he will be with us next week. He's been busy out there this time of year. And we have David with us discussing better ways to treat your body, health, nutrition, stuff like that, but also the essential part of sleep and what it does for us. In different types of scenarios, maybe you can go a little bit more in depth, David, and exactly how your steps work and what you do for people.
Absolutely. I have kind of a basic framework of our approach that we take with many people, and it, of course, it does address deficiency, toxicity, infection. One thing I wanted to mention, when you just mentioned the name Gary Knoll, I have to say I've read so much of Gary Noel's works and followed him throughout the years. I have deep respect for him and really appreciate the contribution that he's made to this field. As far as our approach, you know, to the extent that we're all uniquely, biochemically unique and individualistic, we're also all the same in the sense that we all have a colon, a gastrointestinal tract from top to bottom. We need to keep the colon clean and detoxified, and probably it's the area, you know, I always use the term the septic tank. It's sort of the septic tank of the body. So unless you're proactively doing things to eat properly, which most of us don't, and do things that to detoxify or to clean the colon on a regular basis, unfortunately, that becomes the big problem, because statistics tell us that colon cancer, as you know, and colorectal cancer is one of the most common cancers collectively between men and women. So it's obviously an important thing to address, and we find that even sleep is dramatically improved when people engage in colon cleansing. And we recommend either colonics or coffee enemas. I prefer coffee enema. It's one of those things that if people are not familiar with it, they may have to read about it. They may have to talk to somebody like myself or yourself about, you know, well, how does it work? You know, what does it entail? Once people get past the weirdness of engaging in colon cleansing, they're often, and I can tell you from hundreds of examples, good friends and patients of mine, they're thrilled that they took the leap of faith and said, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. It's kind of weird, but I'll give it a try, because they have more energy, they sleep better, they digest better, everything in the body functions better when you take care of the colon, the large intestine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that with you myself, because that's a great example of what we get brainwashed with. And in my old job, as I mentioned, in pharmaceutical sales, I had to watch colonoscopies and endoscopies. And part of my sales was selling the Prevacid, the acid reflux medication, and the same doctor would go from a endoscopy to a colonoscopy. And I didn't have anything to do with that, but when I saw it, I was amazed. And I said, well, old people got to do that. You know, I'm thinking as a young guy, this is something we do when we're older. No, we got to start doing it right away, but also cleansing what you're talking about, not just the colonoscopy. That's a pretty intense thing to think of, but your examples are great. So tell us a little bit more about what we can do to cleanse ourselves in those areas.
Well, that would be the starting point. I think that's because it's gentle to the body. It doesn't cause a detoxification reaction to engage either in colonic, which you go to a colon hydrotherapist and have them do it. They cost somewhere between $60 and $75. They do it with a machine. You just lay there and let them do it. So it's pretty straightforward and simple. It's a little more uncomfortable, and to some people, especially guys, maybe a little embarrassing. A coffee enema, on the other hand, is done in the privacy of your own home. You make the coffee. The procedure is very simple and straightforward. You're just introducing the coffee into a different part of your body than drinking it, as everybody at Starbucks does. but the benefit is so dramatic that it's undeniable. When you actually take the leap of faith and engage in it, you say, wow, I should have done that a long time ago. So that's one thing, and then the next stage that we go into is doing more of a detoxification and cleansing of the liver and the gallbladder, because most people, believe it or not, have sludge and stones stuck in their gallbladder. And what we found over the years, Stefan, is that many sleep problems go back to the gallbladder, and it has to do with Chinese medicine and the timing of heat and inflammatory response of the liver and gallbladder. It actually interrupts and interferes with normal sleep patterns. So now we're talking about more quality of sleep. In other words, the problem of people that say, I can fall asleep, I just can't stay asleep. You hear that a lot. And that goes back off.
And in that area, what do you think is the average, what is your suggestion for somebody getting up at night when it comes to age and then going to the bathroom at night? What's a good number?
Well, that's another issue. Of course, we're usually talking about men because of prostate issues, you know, men that are a little bit older. Now, behaviorally, of course, you should stop drinking fluids an hour before you go to bed. Because anybody's going to, you know, as a normal function of the body, they're going to want to void their bladder, you know, somewhere in the middle of the night if you drink a big glass of water. So behaviorally, we should stop drinking fluids at least an hour before bedtime. and then, of course, urinate, void your bladder right before you go to sleep. But aside from that, you know, with men that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s that may have inflammation of the prostate, once again, the number one thing to do is not necessarily run for the prostate formula, but engage in colon cleansing. The proximity of the sigmoid colon is within an inch or two of the prostate gland. So you have a lot of pressure when you have compacted fecal matter stuck in the colon. You have enormous amount of pressure on the floor of the pelvis right where the prostate is. So it makes a lot of sense. Do that first. Just like the first thing most people do when they have a sleep problem, they run to GNC and they get melatonin. That's the melatonin. Even if I use it, it's probably going to be one of the last things I try, not the first thing, because there's so many other things that work better and they're more logical and reasonable. But a lot of people, you know, frankly, tend to be lazy. They want to take the easy, quick remedy approach. And so that's why they try that, and they oftentimes don't get good results by doing it that way.
Yeah, you mentioned logic and reason. Those are good key words, because we just look for a quick fix, and if we've had a long, hard day working, a long week, a long month, everything going on, we just want a quick fix to fall asleep. And
a lot of
people don't pay attention to what's going on. You have to pay attention, literally, in a payment terms, because your pain, you're going to get paid back. Your body's going to stop functioning well if you're not paying attention and getting sleep and everything else that we need to do in order to live a healthy life, right?
Absolutely. That the thing we overlook often, Stefan, is that before there was ever disease or dis-ease in the body, there was something called health. And getting back to identifying what is that thing called health, and does it necessarily have to elude us just because we turned 40 years old or 45 years old? And the answer is no. You can reverse a lot of these symptoms of chronic unwellness, chronic illness, even down the road in your 40s, 50s, 60s, if you know the right thing to do. But once again, it goes back to asking the right question and then being having the discipline and the willingness to actually step out and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and try a coffee enema. I think I'm going to try doing a liver gallbladder flush. It sounds kind of weird. You have to drink olive oil in part of it. You got to eat apples all day, and you got to do some unusual things that you think, well, I've never heard of this. Well, just because we haven't heard of something doesn't mean it's not a good idea. It just means you're not familiar with it. And so we have to start with an open mind, ask a lot of good questions. You know, there's more information than any of us have time to access on the internet, and not all of it's accurate, but there is a lot of good information. And then, of course, a lot of shows like yours are doing a marvelous job of educating and bringing awareness to many good people that have these kinds of problems. And a lot of these problems can be remediated and solved by simple measures. It doesn't require that you run to the hospital and have your gallbladder removed necessarily when you start having pain in the right upper quadrant of your abdomen. So once again, it's just asking the right question.
Yeah, and that's another key point too, David, is the don't just jump into a doctor's hands and say, oh, I need a surgery. Okay, let's do it. Because those three, my example of the three endoscopies I went through, they wanted me on prescription drugs for the rest of my life. And I probably would have had more endoscopies for acid reflux.
Yep.
But by changing my diet, got off the prescriptions and no other problems ever since. So to our listeners,
perfect.
You know, that's something that that you help with, David, and that they can help themselves with, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So much that can be done by asking the right questions and then by doing the research. And, you know, we provide a lot of literature and a lot of teaching and educational material about the normal function of the body and how to take the body from a state of impaired or compromised function back to optimal function. And that's where the difference between a pathology, which in modern medicine they talk about pathology, a disease. So you're either diseased or you're not diseased. And that's the difference, is health merely the absence of disease, or is it what we believe is the presence of optimal function? There's a big difference between not having a known disease versus being able to walk around Disneyland for 8 hours all day with your kids and have optimal function and feel good. But when you start losing function, you can lose function. You can be what we call the walking wounded, vertically diseased, and not be diagnosed with any disease. but you've had a dramatic loss of function. You can't walk as long. You get short of breath. You're not sleeping well. You're energy deprived. And then, of course, what most people do is they go for the caffeine and the sugar and the sodas to pump them up, you know, give them a temporary fix of energy and enthusiasm, which then, of course, impairs their sleep that evening. So then they wake up the next morning tired again, and they do this, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And so you have to just simply determine and set in your mind, I'm going to get out of this cycle, and instead of drinking sodas and sugar or too many caffeine beverages, I'm going to start going for a higher dose, of B vitamins, which are energy nutrients. B vitamins are what give us our energy, and they're one of the most overlooked things. They should always be from a raw, food-created state, never synthetic. But B vitamins are critically important for your adrenal function, for helping you sleep and relax when you need to sleep and relax, and also for energy when you need energy. So is potassium. Potassium is one of the most overlooked nutrients in terms of a mineral that the body absolutely needs, and the majority of the population, Stefan, are insufficient or deficient in potassium. And that's why an entire disease entity called RLS, Restless Leg Syndrome, which you've certainly heard of, has proposed the need for a whole class of drugs when the real true underlying problem is a need for potassium and probably more magnesium. So a deficiency or insufficiency is now causing drug companies to produce drugs and sell them and make a huge profit, when really the person's just simply not getting what we're supposed to be getting from our diet.
And that makes me think of an example is when we think of drugs, if somebody's on the street doing drugs, we look at them as lazy, as you know, lost in life. And when we get on prescription drugs, to example, it would be you're lazy in the sense of, you know, we need prescription drugs, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, do the research, look into it, and see if there is a holistic way to get around the issue besides just trying to make a quick fix, right? Besides
that's
saying,
right.
I need this because I need to pay my bills, get to work, do my life. You're not going to have a life if you keep leading that life, right?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I'm like you. I appreciate the fact that our modern science has created medications when they're needed for crisis intervention, for critical care. You know, when you're working your job and you have just such a severe headache, you may need to take a couple ibuprofen or a couple aspirin just to get you through the day. But then ask the intelligent question, gee, I've noticed I've been getting headaches more frequently. I wonder if maybe I'm drinking too much caffeine. Maybe I'm not getting enough sleep, staying up too late. You know, maybe I'm eating, who knows, maybe it's wheat gluten. Maybe I've become sensitive to gluten, even though I haven't been in the past. We know that many people are. Maybe I should back off eating gluten-containing foods. There's just a whole host of possibilities. Cleaning the liver and gallbladder, engaging in colon cleansing. These are all first steps that I would take when addressing these kinds of things. But looking at potential food allergens could certainly be a cause of more frequent headaches. So these are the kinds of directions we guide people in. We don't treat everybody the same because everybody is different. But we do kind of use a similar approach to everybody because, after all, we are all Homo sapiens. We all share a lot of commonalities in the organs and function of our body. So it often goes without saying that some of the same therapies and same approaches and methodologies are going to work well for many people.
Awesome. Yeah, David, I appreciate that. And let me check real quick to see if we have Lisa Livingston. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Lisa. I want to wrap this up, David, so we have our other guests here, but I appreciate it. David, tell us a little bit more about your contact information, and we'll wrap it up here.
Well, thank you, Stefan. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. And my contact is, toll-free number is 888-405-2121, and that's the number to Nutritional Medicine. You can also log on to nutritionalmedicine.com, and I can always be contacted by any of your audience with questions or concerns and maybe some ideas on how to address a real serious problem that they've been having. But look forward to talking to you again in the future, and thanks again for having me today.
Yeah, thanks, David. It was great information for our listeners. And, yeah, you have a great day as well. And to our listeners, we're at this. Oh, take care. And this is the Bobby,
you
Bobby
and
Elias Show.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. we have Let's Create a Better World here with Bobby Elias and Stefan Rudolph on the Gary Knoll Show. And we have Lisa Levinson. Lisa, welcome to our show. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks again for having me. It's quite an honor. So my name's Lisa Levinson, as you mentioned, and I'm the director of the Sustainable Activism Campaign for the International Animal Rights Organization in Defense of Animals. And this campaign, the one that I organize, it offers emotional and spiritual support for people who help animals. And we even have a free counseling line for people who are helping animals in their work with rescue work, which is at idausa.org/helpline. And the number, I'm just letting you know in case anybody feels like they would like to call it, is 1-800-705-0425. And this is for anyone who's interested in vegetarianism, veganism, helping animals in any way. There are people there available to help you and to offer support. So one of the things I'd like...
Go ahead.
One of the things I'd like to share today is the timeless message of love one another. That's really appropriate during the holiday season. And also to really think about expanding this message of compassion to include animals. And the message refers to other people, to animals, and even to ourselves. So with that, really giving ourselves the gift of self-care for the holidays. And that means eating healthy and having vegan meals, plenty of rest, exercise, and relaxation with friends and family, and also spiritual sustenance, which includes self-love, selfless service to people and animals, and also time outdoors, because connecting to nature can be really rejuvenating.
Exactly. Yeah, those are some great points, especially around the holiday season when we think of eating a lot, gaining weight. Everybody is doing a lot of everything around this time. A lot of stress going on because just bills and the holiday season is what it is. What it is, but we are able to handle that, right? And you're making some great points about eating right, sleeping right, like we talked about throughout the show, and also surrounding ourselves with good people. And your point about having pets is huge for having good, positive energy in your life, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I mentioned veganism as part of that because having a plant-based diet is healthy for us. It's also kind to the animals and also good for the environment as well. And I organize vegan spirituality events nationwide to help build a community of compassionate souls. And we have vegan spirituality groups in New York City and New Haven and Philadelphia and cities all across the country. And for our listeners, you could find one near you for spiritual support by going to veganspirituality.com. There's a list of all the different cities that have these groups. And part of this spiritual support includes really looking deeper within and exploring veganism as a spiritual path. And I'd like to share a couple of poems I think might be interesting to the listeners, and one visualization. So
yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. Here's a prayer that can be used. I know you mentioned the holidays, and there's lots of meals going on at the holidays, and so I thought I'd share a mealtime prayer. And this one is written by Judy Carman. She wrote the book Peace to All Beings, and she's very active in our vegan spirituality community. And so I'll go ahead and say the prayer. So let's just take a deep breath and then exhale fully. We joyfully give thanks for this, our meal of love and peace. For no one's child lies on our plates, none suffered for our feet. We pray for peace on earth for all, and grace to do our part. To God and to all life, we are connected heart to heart.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You recommend that. Is that a nightly prayer or before a meal? Is that correct?
Yes, you can do this before a meal or before a holiday meal, and it's an opportunity, especially if you're having a vegetarian or vegan event. I think this is a nice way to connect beforehand. And then I have another prayer I thought I could share with you, and this one is a prayer for those suffering on farms and in slaughterhouses, because at this time of year, many people are having multiple meat courses. Some people are eating turduckins and all sorts of other holidays there that really cause great suffering to the animals, because there's more animals being consumed during this time of year. So with that, I'd like to share this prayer, and this is composed by a group called Open Rescue, and it's adapted from Shantideva, an 8th century Buddhist saint, and modified by Judy Carman to address the animals. So, again, we'll take a deep breath and exhale fully. May all of us bless the billions of sentient beings in all farms who will never feel the sun on their backs, and all those who may not live in cages, but who are at the mercy of people who steal their eggs, milk, and finally their lives. And may we bless those who will never feel the grass under their feet or the warmth of their mothers. May those who imprison them and who profit from their death awake in perfect compassion and equanimity. May the billions awaiting death not be filled with fear. At the time of death, may their minds dwell in the blissful clear light, and may they achieve perfect enlightenment. May those who crave the flesh of precious sentient beings never desire it again. May those who turn a blind eye to the suffering of non-human sentient beings finally see. May we see that their suffering is directly linked to our own, and may we do whatever we can to end it. May all living beings be free of delusion, ignorance, hatred, and greed. May we never enslave our fellow sentient beings again. May we achieve perfect equanimity, free of aversion, hatred, greed, and ignorance. In short, may all sentient beings, human and non-human, achieve perfect enlightenment immediately. May all of us bless the billions of precious sentient beings in farms whose lives are filled with depression, stress, suffering, and death. May we never give up until all are free. For as long as space endures, and as long as living beings remain, until then, may I too abide to dispel the misery of the world. May all go vegan for all sentient beings and for the earth.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, and that's something that we really need to do every day, is what you're saying right there, is an affirmation. Some call it a prayer, some whatever it is in our world is should be repeated daily, even as we walk and before we eat. And so no matter whether someone is a vegan or eat, you know, just any part of life, and Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, old schoolism or new schoolism, right? Anything that we have going on, we should be repeating affirmations like this of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And that really helps people. Yeah, that's what you're, and then too, for our listeners joining on right now, it's Lisa Levinson. This is Stefan Rudolph, and here with Bobby Elias on his show, Let's Create a Better World, for the Gary Knoll Show. And speaking to Lisa about vegan, eating healthy, and also about animals, treating them well. Tell us a little bit more about what you like to do, Lisa, for animals, and what we can do as well.
Sure. Well, one of the things, I mean, I like to keep in mind animals with every purchase I make. I actually, part of being vegan is to purchase products that don't involve animals at all. so that we know that there are no animals suffering on the other end of our purchase. Because most of the time when animal products are used, that means that they are, in some way, they're commodities, and the efficiency and productivity of commodities usually sacrifices their well-being. So that's why it's so important for us to make compassionate choices when we purchase items, even such as hair care items, products that we use to clean things. Look for labels that share that they weren't tested on animals. And even in the clothes that we wear, being aware of using fibers that are plant-based so that we know no animals are suffering when we wear these things. And in this time of year when we're buying products, especially gifts for others, I always take a little peek at the label before I purchase a product so that when I send it, I know that I'm sending them a compassionate, cruelty-free gift. And I think that that's an important way to help the animals and also to help ourselves, because we know when we do this that we're in line. Our heart and our mind is in line. We're compassionate with ourselves, with all living beings, and that represents value.
Yeah, exactly.
The value that we have in ourselves is the value that we, you know, should be sharing with others, and how we live our life is, and how we want to be treated, is how we should do
that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So that's something that we were able to pass on to others and say, hey, this is what I did with my life. This is what you should do with your life. And whether we've been through obstacles or not, I've been through a lot myself medically, and have what you're saying is it hits home, because I've changed. I'd say 80-90% of my diet is, quote, vegetarian, you know, a little fish here and there, but I'm eating healthy, I'm feeling better, and that's what you've probably gone through. Have you always been a vegan, or tell us a little bit about your background in that area?
Oh, sure. Like everyone else, I grew up eating animals and animal products, and then at some point I made the switch because I realized that I loved animals and I didn't want them to suffer on farms, and I felt as though it was better for my soul because I had a conflict when eating animals and also loving animals, having animal companions. Those are things to look at very carefully so that we can be in line with our practices and our beliefs. So, for example, I did work on a small farm for a period of my life. It was an educational farm, but I noticed what was happening to the animals. And even though we loved them and they didn't go through some of the horrific suffering that the animals on factory farms go through, they still were slaughtered. And that's really the end of the line for all the animal products that we see. These animals are slaughtered, and it's a very cruel, difficult process. Many people who witness or have anything to do with that part of the process do become a vegetarian or more aware of the suffering that's involved. So for me, I made that change based on compassion for animals, but also noticed that it definitely improved my health and well-being and energy level, and my feeling of positivity and engagement with the world.
Yeah, that's
a great point, because the engagement with the world, if we're not eating well, we're not feeling well, then our personality, you know, we're upset, we're tired, like we talked about earlier in the show, getting sleep, we're not sleeping well, everything's not right in alignment, and a lot of us will not see that until we awaken to the reality that we are what we fuel ourselves with, correct? And
yeah,
we are,
yeah.
You know, we are raw in the raw vegan world and vegetarian, and no matter what it is, you are what you fuel yourself with, right?
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to share related to what you were saying earlier is just that, you know, if you are in a transition period, or if you're not quite ready to be vegan or be vegetarian, just having consuming less meat, using less animal products, every step is a huge help to the animals and to the environment. So I think that really, really taking if everyone took one step towards that, and even though it wasn't the full step, I think that that is a huge accomplishment. And wanted to just mention, if we have a couple minutes, I can read, do a little visualization with everyone that involves self-care, because it really helps to relax everyone.
Yeah, we have about 7 minutes left here. That'd be great.
Okay, perfect. So this is another one of those where I'll ask you to take a deep breath and exhale fully, and then just listen and allow the words I share to kind of wash over you. I'm going to read a Vegantopia visualization that was written by an activist in England named Ruth Haw. So let's start with a silent affirmation. I rest my everyday mind. I suspend disbelief. I deselect cynicism and quiet my inner critic. Take a deep breath. Release all stress and worry. You are drifting like a leaf, floating softly on a pillow of air. Feel your body lift, float, and gently land in Vegantopia, the peaceable kingdom here on Earth. Notice your surroundings. What do you see, hear, and feel? In Vegantopia, there is peace and harmony for all living beings. Humans treat others with kindness and respect. Everyone is valued and loved. Humans and non-human animals are free to reach their own purpose and potential. Compassion and loving kindness surround you as humans thrive on plant-based diets and practice nonviolent communication. New cultural traditions nurture this peaceful paradigm. Commerce and industry soar to new heights of success on a vegan economy without dependence on animal products. Nature is revered and habitats are pristine once more. Wolves and mountain lions, buffalo and deer, eagles and finches, snakes and lizards, bear and beaver, elephants and giraffes, whales, sharks and dolphins are free to roam their territories and find safety in their own homes. Enjoy this sacred place where peace and freedom reign. Is there a message here for you? If so, accept it with grace and gratitude. Whatever you received is perfect. You are blessed. You are precious. You are loved. It's time to return. Trust that your experience of Vegantopia was real. You can visit Vegantopia anytime you like. Gently wiggle your fingers and toes and feel the ground beneath you. Take a deep breath and open your eyes if they were closed. Thanks for co-creating Vegantopia together. And feel free to share your vision that you have with others. If there's anyone in your circle that you want to share that with, thank you for joining me on that.
Well, thank you, Lisa. That was great. Beautiful. And yeah, just waking up out of that and feeling refreshed. And I know our listeners will really like that as well. Lisa, give us your contact information again and we'll wrap things up here.
Sure. I did want to mention that we actually have a vegan spirituality online gathering today that's on vegan healing, with a healer named Lauren Mon. And to register for this event and to see all of our other free webinars and video tips on self-care, you can visit idausa.org/events. And so feel free to contact me directly. My email is veganspirituality@gmail.com, or you can visit veganspirituality.com. or IDAUSA.org /events.
Awesome, Lisa. Thanks a lot again, and to everybody, Lisa Levingston. And well, I'll definitely be contacting you personally as well to follow up with this, because it's been great hearing from you, and appreciate you, and we'll have you on the show again soon.
Yeah, thank you. It was really wonderful to participate today, and I want to wish all of your listeners a very warm and happy holiday.
Awesome. Thank you. Take care,
Lisa.
Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
And to all... Bye-bye. And all of our listeners out there, this is Stefan Rudolph, and I'm on the with Bobby Elias as well on the Let's Create a Better World. And we've had two great guests today, David Turio and Lisa Levingston there, speaking about health and wellness and living a better lifestyle, leading a better lifestyle for others to see what we can do, what you will do with your life, and what happens to your life when you change. I'm living testimony, and Bobby came into my life a few years back. As far as what can happen when we take action on doing the right thing and going with our heart and leading a better life, just to be able to help others and create change in our life. And my book I have coming out called Barstool Knowledge talks about being your own leader, not a follower, and what we've done with on Bobby's shows here and on Gary Noel, all the shows as well that lead toward this is creating change and living a better life and doing the right thing. My book, Barstool Knowledge, talks about going through an addictive lifestyle and going down the wrong road. What you can do is check it out at barstoolknowledge.com. It's coming out here in 2016. Really focused on teenagers and young adults as well as being your own leader and not listening to others when it comes to peer pressure or addictive lifestyles, but focusing on nutrition, health, happiness, and living the better life. And that's how I changed my life 3 years ago. And Bobby and I came in touch, and we've been spreading the word right here as far as health and wellness on his show and working together with many others. So appreciate you, all the listeners, coming on board and taking part with the Gary Noel, the different shows that he has on the website there and listening to us. And for David as well, speaking about sleep was a great thing for me to go over today, because we all have to pay attention to how we sleep and make sure we get enough 6 to 8 hours or more of sleep per night, and doing especially meditation, deep breathing techniques, relaxing, not drinking, especially an hour before, you know, not drinking water so you can sleep through the night at least an hour before so you don't have to get up to the restroom. Those are just key parts in our show here, and we'll be doing more shows in the future with these two and many other health and wellness advocates and helping you to create a better world. So appreciate your time, everybody out there, for listening. It's Stefan Rudolph wrapping it up with Bobby Elias and Gary Noel Show. Let's create a better world. Take care, everybody.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth